Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm usually joined by my co-host, Clint McPherson, but unfortunately, he won't be able to join us today. However, I'm very excited, as always, to record another episode. So let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guest to the show, Stephen Ullman. How's it going, man?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stephen, yeah, it's an honor to have you on the show today. Before we get into everything and you know, go through some questions and talk about your journey, can you tell our listeners who you are and what you're all about?
Sure. Based in Dallas, Texas, and did the corporate life. And then I kind of graduated down to a small company, kind of had a startup feel. And then about 3 years ago, went out on my own and have been doing the entrepreneur thing and having some success at it and awesome. Some bumps and bruises and having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that kind of story, and you know, definitely want to get into yours and, you know, figure out what makes it unique and what you've been up to. So, but let's start off with, you know, can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey really began, and what is it about entrepreneurship that, you know, that you're really excited about?
Yeah. So I nearly went to school for photography and digital design. So I had a business, basically I was making money even at 17, 18, 19 years old doing photography. And so really my entrepreneurial journey began in a much more creative outlet, which I think business is creative, but it started there and kind of got burnt out on that, but that over the course of many years, but that was the origination of kind of my journey as a business owner.
Okay. Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I mean, like you said, creativity, I think, is definitely a big part of business. And, you know, we're not just, there's a lot of things when you're starting a business, there's a lot of things you've got to do creatively. You know, in the beginning, there's, because you're trying to connect with an audience, right? So there's a lot of creative processes around that. Like, you know, taking pictures of your product, taking video, presenting yourself and your company. So I think we all kind of have to, even if we're not the most creatively inclined, we have to figure out a way to make that work, you know? So I think that's very cool. And then business itself is creative. I mean, no business is exactly the same. And each one we're trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B in the most efficient, effective way with what we've, you know, what we've got, with what budget we have, with what products or services we're selling, you know, and like trying to figure out how do we get this thing out there and how do we get some traction. So I really like that. I think starting with creativity is definitely a good base. So, Stephen, you mentioned before going out on your own that you were part of a software startup in, I think, was it the healthcare space?
It was, yep. So spent 2 years in management consulting and then quickly went on to a much smaller environment. The company had been around a handful of years, but it was under new management and it had a much more like a startup feel at that point.
Okay.
And it was really fun. They hired a few young people. I was 24 at the time and we were basically building on top of this kind of legacy healthcare product and building a whole new analytics component to the business. And that was really exciting. And that was in 2013 and the rise of BI and analytics. And now we just expect those things when you open up a software platform. Where's the reporting? Where's my analysis? But in 2013, it wasn't as normal, especially in a niche like senior living. which is what that was in. That was a fun ride.
It's very cool. Yeah. What was your experience? What was your role in that, first of all? Then how did you take that experience and, use that to what you're doing now?
That basically was my MBA. That's the way that I kind of talk about it. And so I was hired as a head of sales. But there was not a lot of process, not many leads, when I walked in. And so I really got to build it from the ground up, kind of a start over, which was perfect for what I do now. Right. Sure. And building out a process and a team and thinking about how sales, all different types of sales interact with marketing, as a separate function, and then kind of how they work together. That was really helpful as well. And so I was responsible for that. Additionally, I was also responsible for strategic partnerships and kind of became passionate and found a love for strategic partnerships when they're actually mutually beneficial.
Those are the ones that actually last, right? The ones that are sort of one way, one sided, I feel like they're a lot harder to get going. And if you do get them going somehow, they usually kind of fizzle out or don't work that well. And that's really interesting because I love strategic partnerships, and I think it works really well with service companies. So even a software as a service type business would be great for it. And I mean, you can really apply it to any business, whether it's a product or a service, but in particular with services, I think it works really well. And I'm also actually kind of passionate about doing that, because it's something that you can do low cost. If you find the fun thing about it is to figure out something that you can offer the partner and that they can offer you. So it is that two way street. How did you figure that out how did you figure out what was mutually beneficial, and did you have like a strategy about how you were going to go after different companies, and how did that work out?
And so the goal was what you alluded to, kind of complementary functionality, right? So what we were doing, what some other platform offers, that was, had enough volume. That's another thing. Building a strategic partnership with a company that has no customers is not very smart. Looking at, and also not whale hunting and just trying to get a partnership with the biggest company in the industry. Right.
Yeah.
So kind of acknowledging your size, looking at other companies that might be plus or minus 30% of what you are.
Okay.
And then they have complementary functionality where there's not too much overlap, or hopefully none, so that you're not cannibalizing one another's business. Mm-hmm. And then also from a high level, this is a little more strategic, but for some of our two owners at the time, also thinking, hey, some of these partnerships may become acquisitions for us down the line, or vice versa, a partnership that goes well could end up, equating to us being acquired. So that was something else that we kept in mind.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, I don't know if you heard of Jesse Itzler, started Next Jets, or he's married to Sarah Blakely, who started Spanx. But
I'm
kind of a fan. I follow him on Instagram, and he started. He worked with Warren Buffett's jet company. I guess he had a partnership with Warren Buffett as he was building his business, and then his exit strategy, well, at least maybe it wasn't his strategy all along, but they ended up selling his company to Warren Buffett. So it's like, that's perfect. I mean, you're working with somebody, almost said use, but you're not, you're using each other. You're working with somebody else to help each other. And then at the end of the day, one company might end up acquiring the other. And that could be a really, I mean, that would be such a great exit strategy, because that other company, nobody else knows your business better, right? Than the company who are working directly with you. So, I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So, So let's kind of get on a little bit to what you're working on now. You have a very ambitious goal of, and you know, it's, I like it. I think it's very doable, but you have an ambitious goal of starting 50 companies by 2050. So you're giving yourself some time, you know, it's 25 or actually 30 years. So talk to me about that. And is there a strategic reason for wanting to start that many businesses instead of maybe focusing on one, two, or even just a handful?
Yeah. Well, a couple quick inputs, then I'll dive in more details. One, my dad, being around him, he had a full-time job. He had a for-profit business and a nonprofit organization. And he still does all three of those to this day. So I just grew up around someone that was kind of high capacity, high output, but still very present with their family. And so I just kind of adopted. I thought that was normal. I think it took me until like maybe my early teenage years to realize that not every person does that. And so I just adopted that mentality. So that's a big piece of it, kind of from a formative standpoint. And then I really believe in cross-training. And I found so much value in learning something in one business and applying it to another. That's been really helpful. It's like a superpower almost. It's really fun. And it's almost like a game. It's like, oh, what can I learn over here? And then, oh, you know, I could apply it to that business that's totally unrelated. But man, that works too. So that's fun. And I just enjoy it. I enjoy finding those little opportunities. And I also am a natural coach and mentor. So I've coached in some capacity since I was like 15. I started coaching YMCA basketball at, you know, 14, 15 years old. And so I just enjoy teaching things to others and leading other people. So part of the mentality of building many companies is to get to help other people in their own entrepreneurial journey and kind of pull people with me instead of just building my own little empire. Right. So that's part of it as well. And then kind of the last major component to all that is I wanted to, and that's what I'm in the process of doing, is building some service companies that service the rest of a portfolio. So I started, you know, with a marketing agency because I just believe that every single business could potentially be a customer of that marketing agency down the line and have some need. And so that's kind of where I started.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. If you've got complementary businesses, one can help another, you know, and they can kind of all help each other to some degree. I think that's very cool. Do you have like a list of different types of businesses that you want to start, or are you like for all 50, or are you just going to start with a few? Have you started? I guess that's also another.
Yeah. Sure. So, I would say that I think there'll be pockets of companies or groupings. I don't think that they'll all relate with one another by any means.
Okay.
I don't have all 50. Some of that is a journey, right? So an opportunity in the year 2034 may come along that I would never consider today. So I definitely don't have that all mapped out.
That's a great point. Yep.
I'm at about 8 right now that are active. And then I always basically have my next 2 or 3 that I want to pursue, but maybe I don't have the right business partner today, or I don't have the bandwidth if I'm honest with myself, or I just don't think it's the right time in the industry, but I do want to do it at some point. Yeah. So I do have the next 2 or 3. One of them actually will launch soon. I'll start talking about it more. And then the other two are just good ideas, I think, that I have not begun to execute.
Okay. That's very cool. So you talked about bandwidth. How do you prioritize your time? You know, what does a day look like for you? And are you working on all those businesses at once? I myself have work in between basically, 3 different things. I've got a service-based business, consulting. I've got a product business, and I do the podcast. And there's like a couple other little things on the side. And some days everything's clicking and it's smooth, and you know, I can take a little break from work and it's all good. Mm-hmm. And some days I am just swamped. Like I feel like I can't possibly there's just not enough hours in the day. So how do you manage that?
It's a good question. So I think of it as, I try to prioritize across all of them. Mm-hmm. And then within that, I do kind of like a weighted average of income and opportunity. Mm. So I support my family. I have two young children. My wife stays at home with our kids, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And so I think, all right, I need to prioritize across all of these different things that need to be accomplished. Within that subset, what are the things that are driving personal income for me that maybe I need to weight that a little bit higher? Mm-hmm. And then also, are there certain things that are really important opportunities that may not produce income this month, but it's key to driving that business forward and keeping momentum going or hitting like an inflection point? And so that's kind of how I think about prioritizing across all of them and then weighting based on income and opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it does get difficult to prioritize. And there's some things that I do that, like, when you have so many things to do, I keep thinking, all right, if it's not making me money, why am I doing it? But there are, you know, if it's not directly making me money, why am I doing it? But there are so many things that we have to do on a daily basis as entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. that help the business, maybe not today, but they'll drive revenue down the road. And they're just things, even if they're not directly driving revenue, they're, you know, sometimes there's things that, I mean, there's plenty of things that we have to do that we just, they're like things to get the business set up. Right. You know, but that's sometimes tough. I'm like, man, I know I have to do this. I have to do mm-hmm. this to get to the next point, but it's not bringing in revenue right now. So it sometimes can be difficult to focus on it. But yeah, it is really important to make sure that everything's taken care of. And, and then everything else, you know, there's some things that we like that we want to do that just might not be perfectly necessary. They might have like
sure.
a marginal, like I look at it, like if it's got a marginal effect on the business, then it gets, you know, it's not a high priority, but I would like mm-hmm. to get to it at some point because, you know, every little bit helps. But if you can if you're kind of looking at it like the 80-20 rule, get that 80%, you know, do the things that get you most of your business, drive most of your business and your sales, and then work from there. But that's cool. I mean, it's definitely exciting. You know, keeps you busy, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does. And that's the balance also of spending a good amount of time with my wife and kids. And so for balancing business and family and friends and all that. But that's the other part of it is I'm just okay with maybe not going as fast as the next person, mm-hmm. you know, to keep that balance, you know? So I know it's not, no business success is worth sacrificing my family life. So then I'm just okay pulling back a little bit. I may not drive as hard as someone else might because it's just the way I prioritize my life. And so, I say that my days are dense. So I work about 8:30 to 4:30, maybe five, most days, and they're just packed full, but I like it.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Whatever works for you. And we don't all have to be, you know, going 24 hours a day. And actually I think there's, you know, with some people I've talked about it on the show before with Clint is there's this, mentality as entrepreneurs that sometimes, you know, we can sleep when we're done. We can, you know, we just have to burn the candle at both ends all the time until we're finished. And once it's finished, mm-hmm. then we're going to be good. But the problem with that is we're never really finished. You know, so it really is much less of a sprint and more of a marathon. Yeah. Yes. When you keep that in mind, I mean, Rome was not built in a day. It's very true with business. You don't want to take, you know, 10 years to be profitable, but you also want to, you also want to balance everything. So it's really important. And the things, you know, that you do today will maybe affect, you know, your business months or years down the road. So you just stack up all those little wins, and eventually, you know, you'll get there. Or there's no finality or there to get to, but at least you'll get further along. So
yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So you have several ways for people to get involved in your serial startup journey, which I think is really cool. And some of those ways include building a business from scratch for someone. So I guess you can work with them to help build their business, partnering with them. And also you're open to working with investors to help fund a business. Tell me why you decided to open that up like that, and how has it been working so far?
Yeah, I think my world is a little complicated, and so I just wanted to provide different avenues for people to engage with me. So they basically self-select and say, oh, I'd really like to partner with you. I have this little side project. I need help with that. Or maybe I have an established business and I'd like to work with your marketing agency or whatever it may be. So it's really because I am so varied in what I do, and there's kind of different audiences or different arenas that I play in, I wanted to just help provide different avenues to get in touch based on what they might need.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. Your website makes it very cool. Like, it's very interactive, and it's fun to, you know, scroll through and figure out, okay, you know what, I have an idea, but I'd rather partner with you. I don't necessarily want you to do it from scratch. So that's a good option. Or maybe, you know, somebody really does, or maybe I have some capital I want to invest in, you know, I want to invest in what you're working on or what you're partnered with. I think that's cool. And to the point you were talking about before, you're not doing all these 50 businesses by yourself. And so you're always going to be working with somebody. And that's helpful. That's so helpful. If you're going to have even just one business, it's helpful to have people, you know, partners, you know, to some degree. So, and especially when you have multiple businesses, it really, it's really critical. So I like that. I like that. How you can,
I was going to say that at this point, I really don't, maybe early on the first 30 to 60 days, I'll work on a concept on my own. But at this point I don't pursue any business without at least one partner anymore. Which is for bandwidth. It's because I just don't do as well when I'm in isolation and I'm in my own head. Like, I've just found so much value in partnering. It's the classic, you'd rather own 50% of a successful business rather than 100% of a failure. Right. So I just kind of taken that, and run with it and really believe that for myself, that it's healthiest.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree. So how do you manage working with different, you know, if you have multiple partners that you're working with, and they're one partner in one business might not be working with you on another business, how do you kind of manage all that and set expectations about who does what?
Yeah. So, pretty much every business partner I have, we have complementary skill sets. So there's not too much overlap. So we basically know if we get into a business together, we kind of know what one another is going to work on, right? I have a software business called OmniLicense, not a developer. I definitely am technical, but we both know that he's the one that's going to be developing it, and I'm the one that's going to be generating some sales opportunities.
Okay.
So that's in terms of who does what. That's the way that runs. And I also am a nerd when it comes to taxes and finance and like legal. So I like to handle all that stuff. It's just kind of fun because I'm just weird. So I typically take that off the plate for people. And then as it relates to balancing between, which is a really good question, and I try to time bucket where I just actually did this in a meeting before, you know, you and I got to talk, and that was two different businesses with the same business partner. And so we had an hour, we knew we were going to cover two different businesses, and we didn't know exactly how much time we'd spend on either one. but it was a great use of time. And so that's really nice if you're going to do several businesses to at least do work with the same business partner on two or more. It's very efficient.
Yeah, exactly. They kind of might end up being like consultants for you in one particular area in a way, mm-hmm. right? You're still part, you know, yeah. you're still partnering. They might have equity in the business, but they're kind of like, you know, that if you need help with whatever it is, software development, you've got mm-hmm. at least one person that you can go to and they're your guy. And, you yep. know, maybe they don't want to partner on another business, but maybe they want to just help you out on a consultancy basis or something like that. So having that
literally done that. Yeah. yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. yeah. So it's important to kind of stay flexible and be open mm-hmm. to different opportunities. And I think probably having that, I'd imagine having that sales background that you've had to be creative with work, with how you're going to work with different partners has really helped to figure mm-hmm. out these partnerships as you move forward.
It has. And that's just a big part of being self-aware, which I preach. You know, it's so important to know yourself, to be honest about what you're good at, what you're not, and to ask for feedback from other people. So that's been really helpful. I feel like I'm very clear on what I should be doing in a business and what I should not.
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's all. That's what you really have to be, is know exactly what you want to do and really focus on that and try not to go, even if there's something that you could do outside of that. I think it's probably better to just stay in your lane and let other people do what they do best. And that I think really helps you scale a business because it keeps your focus on the right thing and keeps you moving forward. So
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So through your entrepreneurial journey from the highest to the lows, what has been the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur, do you think?
I think the hardest part of entrepreneurship for me, especially if I think about the last 6 to 12 months, mm-hmm. is I touched on it earlier, but I didn't talk about how hard it is to balance between income producing activities and opportunity producing activities. Mm-hmm. And to say, I know that I need to do things that are making money deposit into my bank account, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's get really practical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also have this entrepreneurial spirit and I have vision and I see things that I want to go do. And it's correctly prioritizing that and denying myself doing some of the fun opportunity producing things at times, mm-hmm. In order to do the income producing activities. And so that has been very challenging at times. And a lot of that just comes out to discipline and focus. But I feel like I'm in a good place now, but that has been really challenging in the past.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, we talked about that a little bit before. And I was mentioning that, I'm always looking to, I really try and have tried recently to focus on the things that are making money. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I also am very excited by doing the things that get business down the road, you know, setting up. So I love that kind of stuff, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's just fun to do. It's fun to connect with people and figure out, hey, how can I work with this person? How can they help my mm-hmm. business and how can I help theirs? So I think that stuff is really cool. But you're right. You do definitely have to be disciplined and say, all right, from this, I mean, I've been trying to get better about, all right, from 8 to 10, I'm going to do some outreach and, you mm-hmm. know, I'm going to make connections from 10 to 12. I'm going to, you know, do some work. I'm going to do some design, or I'm going to, you know, do something that's directly impacting the bottom line and, you know, customer service in the afternoon or whatever it is, you know? So, but yeah, discipline is definitely key, but it's not easy. And I think, mm-hmm. it's not something I think you just figure out and you're good forever. I think it takes discipline to continue to, you know, get better at it every day.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So Stephen, as we wrap up this episode, I mean, it's been awesome talking to you and we'll have to have you on again. First of all, when Clint is back on the show, That'd be awesome for all three of us to catch up then, also to see how you're doing, you know, how and what's new with the businesses, because you're, this is going to be something that's evolving over the next, you know, several months and many years. So, yeah, we'll have to have you back on. But before we leave, is there a piece of advice that you could offer our audience that might help them on their entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, I'd say that I think there's an obsession with two things that I think are really unhealthy. I think there's an obsession with creating something new that's never been done before. I think that's a big mistake for a lot of, especially first time entrepreneurs. They think it's sexy. And I really think it's a bad idea. I think especially for first time entrepreneurs, you should look at massive markets and go get a piece of it and just serve people really well. Mm-hmm. And then the other obsession I think that's really bad is fundraising, that people believe they need to raise money in order to be a successful entrepreneur. And very rarely is that true. And so those are the two things to watch out for, in my opinion, if you're going to dive into entrepreneurship.
Okay. Yeah. So find something that has a broad appeal, and mm-hmm. and I agree with that, because I mean, it is nice to have a niche, you know, to have something that you can really mark, like really target, you know, your product mm-hmm. to, but
sure.
it could be something. This is something I've learned over the years, is that you don't necessarily have to have, you don't necessarily have to play small ball. Like you can play in the big leagues, right? Have a product or a service that has the potential to reach a large market, but you don't have to start out necessarily by targeting that huge market. You know, you can segment it. You can.
Yes.
So I think that's really important, because what I've learned over the years, and you may have seen this, is where you have a company that really doesn't have a huge potential. It might be able to be a seven-figure business, let's say, mm-hmm. down the road, but it doesn't have huge potential, and it has a ceiling. And you're always going to be, you know, you're going to be working really hard up to that ceiling, but you can't really go beyond it. And so I kind of realized that, hey, it's probably better to have something that you have, you know, there's more potential with. So you can open it up, you can add new products, add new services, and continue to grow the business outside of, you know, that relatively small thing. So I think not pigeonholing yourself is good. And, you know, like you said, just get something that has sort of a mass appeal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. Okay. Awesome, man. Well, it's been great to have you on the show. I think this is a wrap for this episode. Steven, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to join me and helping to add value to what we're doing on our podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Steven's working on, check out his website, stephenolman.com. That's STEPHENOLMON.com. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com. With that said, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs, and don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.